So we're going to now move on to topics that look at multimedia applications and supporting, for example, voice and video over the internet. So today we'll talk about some techniques to support multimedia applications, and then next week we'll go on to how those multimedia applications work. The last topic on TCP showed us a little bit about what may have impact upon the performance of data transfer in the internet. So TCP is used by many data transfer applications, including web browsing, file downloads. Most applications make use of TCP, and therefore understanding what impacts its performance is important. Other types of applications, and some that may not use TCP, include multimedia applications. And multimedia, the simplest way to define is to include voice communications and video communications. But there's others as well. And often we're dealing with having live communications. That is a voice call and a video conference, as opposed to replayed like streaming in some cases. But we'll cover aspects of streaming as well. So multimedia applications often have different requirements than simply data transfer applications. Requirements like delay. With multimedia applications, the time it takes to send my voice when I talk on Skype to someone in the US who's listening to me should be in the matter of milliseconds. If the delay reaches seconds, then it's very hard to communicate in an interactive voice conversation. So delay becomes important. Same with video transfer or video calls, and also with streaming applications. We want delay to be low, and often we need high throughput. So today we'll look at some techniques that we'll try, or in the future we'll aim to support these applications, and then next topic we'll look at those applications in detail, how they work. So today, multicast and quality of service. First covering multicast. We want to introduce what is multicast. You may have heard of it and may have even been explained in some lectures, so we'll simply have a basic coverage of what is multicast, what the benefits it offers to different applications. And then we'll explain what do we mean by quality of service and what are the techniques available to guarantee or to deliver an improved quality of service. First, to lead up to multicast, let's look at a classification of different types of addressing and delivery mechanisms in a network. How do we address the nodes that we want to send data to, and how do we deliver data to those nodes? Well, there are four basic approaches: unicast, broadcast, multicast, and anycast. So we'll explain those four. Unicast is what we normally talk about when we talk about communications. One-to-one communications. I want to send a message to one person, then I use unicast delivery. There's a single source and a single destination. There's a one-to-one association between the address and the host. This is the most common method of data delivery. So if we don't specify what form we're using, we usually assume we're using unicast or talking about unicast. So how it works is that there's a destination address. So there's one destination address and a host, the source computer, sends a packet to that destination address. So we create a packet. We know the destination address, X, and we send a packet to that destination address. In unicast, that packet should be delivered to the host associated with that destination address X, and only to that host. So only that host will process the packet. If other hosts receive that packet, then they will ignore it or drop that packet or treat it as an error. So there's a one-to-one association between the address X and the host that's going to receive the packet. So, what do we mean when we say the address X? Well, there are different address formats. So, in the Internet Protocol, we have IP addresses, but at layer 2, there are different address formats as well. For example, Ethernet or IEEE standards, there's this 48-bit address format. Both layer 2 and layer 3 networks can have unicast and also the subsequent mechanisms of broadcast and multicast. So in the Internet, IP unicast is that when my computer, the source, creates an IP packet, if I set the destination address in that IP packet to be 125.70.16.3, then the Internet and the IP delivers that IP packet to the host with this IP address, and to only that host. Anyone else who receives it is either forwarding it on, or if they receive it, then they need to discard that. Only this host should receive and process that packet. We can have a similar mechanism inside a LAN, for example, using Ethernet or wireless LAN. My laptop wants to send to the access point, for example, then I create an Ethernet frame, and inside that Ethernet frame is a destination address. For example, if this is the destination address of the access point, then I create an Ethernet frame, put the destination address equal to this, and my wireless LAN will deliver that frame to that access point. And it will only be processed by that access point, even if your laptops receive that frame, because remember, wireless LAN, I transmit a frame, it can be received by multiple receivers. Even if your laptop receives it, it will discard that frame because it's intended for just one host. Any host that receives a packet to which it is not the unicast destination will discard that packet. So unicast is what we normally think of. Send a packet to one destination. And the addresses, well, we've seen plenty of examples of the address formats that we use. So IP addresses, or most of the addresses we've shown are unicast addresses. And similar, this is an example of a unicast MAC address or a layer 2 address. What other alternatives do we have? Well, one we know about is broadcast. Unicast is a one-to-one mapping between host and address. Broadcast is a one-to-many association between address and hosts. That is, there's one address which is associated with many hosts. Many, in this case, means every host in a network. That is, we have one address which is associated with all of the hosts inside some network. And there are different cases. That is, we're different types of broadcasting. We know that there is broadcast addresses available in IP. That is, if we take an IP address and set the host portion to be all ones in binary, for example, with a subnet mask of /24, it means the first three dotted decimal digits are the network portion. The last dotted decimal number is the host portion. If this is all ones in binary, which is equivalent to 255 in decimal, then this represents a local broadcast address, or actually a directed broadcast address. If we send this destination address, then the packet should be delivered to all hosts on this network, on the network 192.168.1.0. So broadcast, we associate one address with all hosts on a particular network. There's another type of address not given here in the example. So another example The first example there is directed broadcast using IP, where we set the host portion to all ones. That's an example directed broadcast address. And that is sent to all hosts on a particular network. E.g., the network 192.168.1.0. So that's an example of one type of broadcast address. Another IP broadcast address is the local broadcast. And that address is the all ones in binary. They are different. This is used to send to all hosts on a particular network. The local broadcast is used to send to all hosts on your network. So all hosts on the same network as the source, in this case. You can use, if I wanted to send all, if we were a network, a single IP subnet, and I was the source, if I wanted to send a message to everyone on this network, I could use either of those addresses. I could use the 255.255.255.255 address, that is the local broadcast, and that message will be delivered to all of you. Or if I knew that our network address was 192.168.1.0, then I can send to the directed broadcast address. But we can also use this, in theory, to send a broadcast to all hosts on another network. If this is our source host, and this is the network 10.10.10.0, and there's a router, and there's another network, which is 192.168.1.0, these are some hosts there, then we can use the directed broadcast address, in theory, for this source to send to all of these hosts. That's the difference there. If I want to send to all hosts on a particular network, I can use this address. If I want to send to all hosts on my network, I can send to the local broadcast address, or I could send to the local broadcast or the directed broadcast address for my network. I could send a 10.10.10.255 and reach all hosts here, or to the local broadcast address. So there's a slight difference, or there's a difference between those two. In practice, not many networks allow you to send a directed broadcast outside of your LAN. I cannot send a directed broadcast to any other network in the internet. That is, these routers may block packets that are directed broadcast packets coming into their network. Because if we allowed these packets, then it means I could send a broadcast to everyone on Google's network or everyone on anyone's network in the world, which is a problem, a security issue. But in theory, that's the difference between the two. Now, how do we implement that? This is IP is at the layer 3. At layer 2, we can also have MAC level or layer 2 level broadcasts. So how does a packet get broadcast throughout this network? If I send here's my laptop, the source. We have an access point and some other laptops associated with that. So this is one IP subnet. They're all on the same IP subnet. Let's say this is 192.168.1.1, and this is 192.168.1.2, and so on. So I want to send to everyone on my subnet. I could use either the directed broadcast or the local broadcast to send to everyone on my subnet. I create an IP packet. My laptop is the source, which has some data, whatever I want to send, and an IP header. Source address is my address. Destination is whichever broadcast address I use. So that's the IP packet. So if we looked in detail inside this computer, we'd have a stack here. We'd have IP. Above that, we'd have an application and maybe TCP. And below that, we'd have our wireless LAN, IEEE 802.11, MAC and physical layer. How does the wireless LAN deliver this IP packet to every destination? Well, in layer 2 or wireless LAN and as well as Ethernet, there's also a broadcast address. So what we do is that we take this IP packet, let's use a different color. The IP packet and put it inside a frame, a wireless LAN frame, and the header of the wireless LAN frame. In fact, the wireless LAN frame is a very similar format to Ethernet. We have a source address and a destination address. The source address is my MAC address. Let's say it's this MAC address. So the source address is set to my MAC address. Remember, in fact, in the wireless LAN frame, we have more than two addresses. We have a third address. The third one would be the access point address. So there'd be a MAC address of the access point. And also we have the, so this is the source, this is the access point, this is the final destination. In this case, the final destination, because we want to broadcast to everyone in our network, there's a special address, which is a broadcast address inside an Ethernet or inside a LAN, which is all ones, which in hexadecimal is this FF address. So this is the destination address for the wireless LAN frame at layer 2. It's a special address to indicate broadcast to everyone inside your LAN. So we created this IP packet, and based upon the destination address, the wireless LAN device creates a wireless LAN frame and sets the destination address to this. It sends this wireless LAN frame, and also we'd have the access point address there, whatever it is, the MAC address of the access point. We would send this wireless LAN frame from my laptop to the access point. The access point would see the destination address, this broadcast address, and decide to send it to everyone inside the network. So it simply sends that packet once. Because remember, in wireless LAN, the nature of wireless LAN is it's broadcast always. We transmit one frame. Everyone receives it. that always happens. When we transmit a frame, everyone can receive that frame. With unicast, if the access point transmits a frame and the destination is a specific address, if the destination is something like this, everyone receives it, but only the specific destination processes. The others throw that packet away. But with broadcast, we transmit one frame, so we follow the normal wireless LAN rules of a back off, transmit data, wait for an ACK. But in this case, the destination is a broadcast address, so we transmit that data. This one will receive it, if it's within range, will receive and process the data. When it receives the frame, it realizes destination was broadcast, therefore I'm included in that destination. Process the data. This one also receives the frame, processes the data, as does this one. In fact, this one as well, because we've transmitted to the access point transmits or broadcasts to everyone within range. So that's the way that broadcast is applied within a local area network. That is, there's a special broadcast address at the layer 2 or the MAC address. Similar in Ethernet. In Ethernet, where we don't have an access point, we have a computer connected to a switch, and that switch is connected to other computers. Same concept. You send to the switch sees this frame has to be broadcast, therefore the switch sends a copy of that frame to every link on the switch. Remember, switches have multiple cables plugged in. You will receive the frame on one link from one cable. The switch will see it's a destination and send it out on every other link. Therefore, every other computer would receive that frame. So importantly, we have different types of broadcast addresses. We have broadcast addresses for Layer 3 or Internet Protocol, but we also have broadcast addresses for Layer 2 or MAC addresses. But all of them use the same concept. There's one address which is associated with many hosts, or more specifically, with all hosts in a network. There are different applications of broadcast. Normally it's used for monitoring and managing the network. Things like ARP, Address Resolution Protocol. When you're trying to find out an association between IP and MAC address, ARP broadcasts a message to everyone saying who has this IP address. So different control and management protocols use broadcasting. The problem with broadcasting is that it can be very inefficient in a network. That is, you send one packet, but the network must deliver a packet for every host. If there are 100 hosts, then on a switch, that means we need to transmit 100 different packets. More generally, we could say we could broadcast in an entire IP network. What if I want to send to everyone in across multiple IP subnets? Although there's no specific address, we would like to be able to send to multiple hosts in different subnets. We'd need some application layer broadcast to support that. There's no specific address to do that. Of course, I cannot broadcast to everyone in the internet. There's no address that allows that, and the routers would not allow that. So, unicast, one-to-one mapping. Broadcast, one-to-all mapping. They're the extremes. Then we have some in the middle. Multicast. Again, we have a one-to-many association between hosts. That is, there's one address which represents many hosts. But in this case, many means a selected group of hosts. In broadcast, it was all hosts in a network. In multicast, it's a selection of the hosts, a subset of the hosts in a network. So that's the difference here. In fact, it's a more general broadcast. With multicast, we could, in fact, implement broadcast. So, the scenario would be if we have four hosts in this network and I want to send to two of them, then that's where we could use multicast. I'm the source. I have a special multicast destination address. An example, I think we give one here. It's 225.70.820, a special multicast IP address. So when I create my IP packet and set the destination as this address, if everything's set up correctly, that IP packet will be delivered to these two hosts, the two hosts which are associated with this multicast address. So that's where we can send to many computers that have, prior to sending, have somehow associated themselves with this multicast address. For this to work, we need to have special types of IP addresses. And do we say here, the range of addresses 224 and above, 224, 225, are for multicasting in the internet. If you remember back to very first introduction to IP addresses, there are different classes, class A, B, C, D, and E. We've focused mainly on classes A, B, and C. Class D is for multicast. Class E is not used. It's for special purposes. So the class addresses, which start from 224, are for multicast applications. For this to work, somehow these hosts need to associate or need to be associated with this multicast address. So there's some additional mechanisms needed, some management protocols for the hosts, we say, to subscribe or join a multicast destination group. These red hosts are in some group. When we send a packet to this multicast address, all hosts in that group should receive that packet or receive a copy of that packet. So these hosts first subscribe or join a multicast group. And for multicast to work efficiently, we need the routers to be able to deliver the packets in an efficient manner to the different destinations inside some group. We'll cover that in detail in this topic. So that's the concept of multicast. Send to multiple hosts in some group. Where is it used? It has potential for a number of multimedia or collaborative applications. Applications that have many users. You watch TV on the internet. So there's a one source, the TV station, which broadcasts the TV program. There are many destinations. All the people who currently have turned on to that channel. Maybe they've got their web browser and they select, I want to watch Channel 5 on their computer. And there are thousands of people at the same time who want to watch Channel 5. There's one source, which is the TV station. So it could use multicast to send the same content to all 1,000 users at the same time. We cannot use broadcast because broadcast goes to everyone on the network. Not everyone wants to receive Channel 5 at the same time. Using unicast is possible, but we'll see is very inefficient. So broadcast becomes important there. So for different applications, especially multimedia applications that have multiple users, streaming of audio and video, presentations, collaborative applications. We're going to go through some more detail of multicast shortly. The last approach, so unicast, one-to-one mapping, broadcast, one-to-all, multicast, one-to-multiple, anycast, one-to-any. It's still one-to-many association between address and hosts. One address represents multiple hosts. But what we want to do with anycast is to deliver a packet from one source to any of those hosts which are associated with that address. Similar to multicast, where a select group of hosts are associated with some address, except we don't have to deliver a packet to all of the hosts in the group. We only have to deliver it to any of those hosts. To only one, any one of the subscribe hosts. So if these two subscribe to an Anycast group or an Anycast address, and we send a packet to that special Anycast address, then the network must deliver a copy of that packet to any of these two. Doesn't matter which one. This becomes useful for special cases like when we have we need redundancy, or we have multiple servers for load balancing. In the internet, there are multiple DNS servers. We send a request to a DNS server. Multiple servers can respond. I only need a response from one. I don't care which one, as long as it's from one of them. So some advanced DNS implementations use Anycast. We will not go through the details of how Anycast works. For now, we've just introduced the four different classifications of delivering data. Unicast, broadcast, multicast, and Anycast. We'll go through some more detail of multicast. Any questions on the difference between those four? You'll see exam questions which simply ask you, explain each of those or explain the difference between them. Understand where they are of benefit. What's the difference between Anycast and directed broadcast? Any of the broadcast mechanisms, we have a single source and we send to all destinations on some network, all hosts on some network. Directed broadcast, all hosts on a particular network. Local broadcast, all hosts on your network. Anycast is send a packet, and any host that is registered or subscribed to this special group should receive a copy of that packet. Not all of them. Multicast is that all hosts in a group should receive a copy of the packet. Anycast is that any one of those hosts should receive a copy of that packet. So not everyone has to receive a copy. Who got, let's give an example. Who got top mark in the exam? Put your hand up. I want to send a message to the person who got top mark in the exam. Put your hand up. Hands up. Okay. So with Anycast, I would send a message through the network and it would be delivered to that one destination. Okay. It should get delivered through the different routers in the internet, and the destination receives the message. So that's unicast. That's unicast, the normal form of communications. One source. I knew the destination address, and I send a packet, and only that host received that message. That's unicast. Broadcast, I would not demonstrate. Broadcast, we know, is that I want to tell everyone in the class that tomorrow, that next week's lecture is cancelled, then I'll tell everyone the lecture is cancelled. Everyone hears, everyone processes data, everyone in some network. Multicast. Let's try. Who got less than 30 in the exam? Put your hand up. Less than 30. Less, put your hand up higher. Anyone else? So with multicast, we have two users or two hosts subscribed to a particular group. So I would send a packet. I would in fact only send one packet, but that's hard to do. I would send a packet to the network, and the network would deliver a copy of that packet to each of those hosts. So it didn't go to everyone. Only two hosts received that message. For that to work, that those two hosts had to somehow subscribe to the group. We'll see how that works later. Multicast. Last one. Let's say we need a laptop. I need a laptop for the lecture next week. So I need a laptop. Put your hand up if you have a laptop which is less than 1 year old. That is, it's not older than one. Not older than two. Who has a laptop? Come on, I need to know. Who has a laptop? I need a new laptop for the demonstration next week. Who has a laptop which is less than 2 years old? Hands up. Yep, hands up. So I need a laptop for the demonstration next week. So what I would do is send my message onto the network. Put your hand up higher so the network can see. We have some people over here. We have about five people. I would send it to the network, and the network would deliver a copy of that packet to any of those destinations. I don't care which one. And at least one of them would receive a copy of that message. So that one works, because I wanted one laptop to bring next week. I send a message. One of the five people received the message. Therefore, one person will bring a laptop next week. All right. In the internet, that is useful when we have, for example, multiple servers performing the same task. That is, they do exactly the same thing. I want to send a message to a DNS server. There were five different DNS servers in the internet I could use. I use Anycast. I send a message. The network magically delivers a copy of that packet to any of those servers. I don't care which one. As long as one responds, that's sufficient. So that's Anycast in the case. We're going to explain in more detail multicast and how it works. That's just an illustration of those four mechanisms. Unicast, one source, goes to a specific destination, broadcast to all destinations in a network, multicast to a select group of destinations, anycast to any one, or at least one, of the nodes in a particular group. Similar to here, but only one has to receive it. So let's look at how multicast is implemented in the internet. IP multicast. So remember, there are different mechanisms. There's the addresses. There are special types of multicast addresses in the internet. They are IP addresses, normal IP addresses, except start or in the range of class D, 224 and above. So there are multicast addresses. We need hosts to subscribe to a multicast group. So that needs to happen somehow. We'll explain somehow shortly. But once they subscribe to a group, then when I send a single packet to this special multicast address, the network should deliver a copy of that packet to everyone who has subscribed to the group. Here's an example. What does it show? There's some hosts. There are some routers. So there are multiple subnets in this internet here. It only shows some of them. Assume that there are hosts attached here. This is a router. These are routers. There are some hosts. And assume there are other hosts which are not shown. This is the source host who's going to send the packet. And these hosts, these five hosts, have subscribed to a group, a multicast group, group one. What I do is I create a source IP packet. A normal IP packet has a source address of my address and a destination IP address of the special multicast address for group one, which may be, for example, 225.70.8.20. just an IP address, but in a particular range. I send that one copy to my local router, that is my default router, the first router that I'm attached to. This router knows something about multicast, and it knows something about the hosts in the group. So, it needs to be delivered to all hosts in group 1. It knows it has one host attached on this link. So it sends a copy of this packet out to this link, to this host. In addition, the router knows that there are some other hosts in the group, and they are in this direction, because they're up here and over here. So the router sends two copies of the same packet. It received one packet, it sends two copies. One on this link, one on this link. This host receives a copy, the data has been received. This router receives a copy and does the same. It realizes, okay, I need to deliver this data to everyone in group G1, deliver to this host, make a second copy to this router, and a third copy to this router. This one will eventually deliver here, and will deliver to the other two hosts in the group. So, here's an example where a single packet is sent from the source, five hosts receive a copy of that packet. Three things are needed for that to work. We need a multicast address. We need the five hosts to subscribe to the multicast group. And we need the routers to be configured such that they know where to send copies of the packets. Why did this router send a copy in this direction and in this direction? Why not in this direction? Well, there needs to be some routing protocol such that this router knows to reach people in group G1, send copies in this direction and this direction. So we need a special routing protocol to handle that. We could do the same thing using unicast. Let's see the difference. With the multicast, I send one packet from the source, and the routers make copies of that where appropriate to deliver to the destination. With unicast, we can achieve the same thing. Except if I know that there are five destinations, I send one packet using unicast to destination one, I send the same packet to destination 2 and the same packet to destination 3, 4, and 5. I send five copies of the same packet. So this is the difference between multicasting to deliver to five different destinations and what we can call multiple unicasting to deliver the data to five destinations. This is from the previous slide. The blue rectangles show the packets and copies of those packets that were delivered. This router received one packet, copied that, and sent out two packets. If we wanted to use unicasting, this needs to happen. In fact, it's not. There's an error here. This one's incorrect. We send, at the source, five copies of the packet. It shows four here. There should be five. We send five copies of the same packet, except the destination addresses are different. In this case, the destination address was a special multicast address, like this. In this example, packet 1 would have a destination address of D1, packet 2 a destination address of D2, and so on. Packet 5 a destination address of D5, using unicast. I send those five packets to my router. The router just uses normal forwarding. Okay, to reach D1, send direct. To reach D2, send to this router. Packet 3, to reach D3, send to this router, and so on. So there are five packets to this router. Router sends one packet to D1, four packets onto this router. One of them goes to D2, one goes to D3. The other two go in this direction. and eventually each host receives a copy of the packet. So from the destination's perspective, they are the same. Each destination received one copy of the data. So they know no different in terms of the data they receive. But from network performance perspective, there's a substantial difference. Here, look at the number of packets sent. We could count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 packets sent across the network. In this case, should be 5 here, 5, 10, 13, 15, 19 packets sent in this simple example. With unicasting, to deliver to the same data to multiple destinations, often we need to use many more network resources. We need to send many more packets through the internet. That's where multicasting becomes useful. It can be much more efficient in using the network resources because we send less packets through the network. So, in addition, with multicast, a source only sends one copy, not five copies. This is a simple example where we just have five destinations. Now consider the example where we have Channel 5, the TV station, broadcasting on the internet, or not broadcasting, sending their TV program live on the internet. And everyone who opens their web browser and goes to their website will see the live TV. So there are 1,000 or 10,000 different users who visit the website at the same time. With multiple unicasting, we'd have the TV station sending 10,000 packets at the same time, and they'd be sent through the internet being delivered to everyone's individual host. With multicasting, the TV station simply sends one packet and the routers are configured such that they make copies where necessary, such that the destinations receive the data. So, the differences, in summary, multicasting, a single packet is sent from the source. Copies are made at multicast routers where necessary. With unicasting, we just use unicast in its normal manner to try to emulate or act as if it's multicast. The source uses unicast to send a copy of the same packet to each destination. So if we have N destinations, we send N packets. This doesn't require anything special from the routers. This requires the routers to do something special in the internet. We'll see what shortly. Multiple unicasting can be simpler because it doesn't require special routers, but very inefficient, because we need to send many copies of the data through the network. Any questions on the differences between these two so far? Of what is multicast and how is it different from simply using multiple unicasts? Again, there have been exam questions which ask you, explain the difference. Why not use multiple unicasts? You can use it, but what's the design trade-off? It's very inefficient because we send multiple copies of the packet. Unfortunately, today, the routers in the internet do not support, not many of them support multicast. They do not support the special features necessary for multicast to work. So in the internet you cannot have a multicast application except very special network or specific network. So some internet service providers do support multicast, but many do not. I think in the UK, one ISP, a large ISP, I think British Telecom maybe, supports multicast so that, for example, when people watch the online TV on BBC or content from BBC, for example, it's sent using multicast, at least inside the country. That's one example. But across the entire internet, most routers, most ISPs will not support multicast. So what are the components that are needed? So it's an optional feature of IP hosts and routers. Well, this is different. So when you buy a router or your host, it can support multicast, but those features are not turned on. They're not used. So most ISPs have not enabled multicast. The routers could support multicast, but it requires some extra configuration, and the benefits that they see are not as high as the trade-offs of or the costs of configuring them. So, we use normal IP addresses for multicast. So, our normal 32-bit IP address includes a range of addresses for multicast. So, the range, maybe it's on one of the next slides, is starting from the 224 and going up. So, that's what we need for multicast. We need routers to know which computers belong to a particular group. So, the computers, the hosts which want to receive the content, a part of the multicast group, have to register or subscribe. And there's a special protocol to do that called IGMP, the Internet Group Management Protocol. In addition, the routers need to be able to deliver multicast datagrams, multicast packets in the right direction. So there's special routing protocols needed so that they learn how to do that. That is, if we go back to our example, this router received a copy of the packet. How did it know to send a copy in this direction and this direction? Well, that was configured via multicast routing. There was some routing protocol that operated beforehand, a special multicast routing protocol, that by configuring its routing tables, that if it receives a packet to destination G1, send copies on this link and this link. So a routing protocol would do that for us. IP multicast addresses, the range 224 up to 239. Range of addresses available for multicast groups. There are some special cases in there. A single IP multicast address identifies a destination group of computers. It can only be a destination, it cannot be a source. So the source address of an IP packet is always a normal IP address, a unicast address. You can only send from one computer, but you can send to multiple computers using a multicast address. But each computer still has its own IP address, its own unicast address. So in this case, these computers have their standard IP addresses. In this, let's say it's a /24 subnet, so this is the network 128.119.40, this is the network 128.59.16, and the network 128.34.108. Three different IP subnets or networks there. Different hosts just with normal IP addresses. Then there's a special multicast address and each host subscribes or joins this multicast group. They somehow relate or have association between the host and the group address. So when sends a packet to this group address, it's delivered to all of the hosts inside that group. So remember, each host still has its normal IP address, but there's this additional special address, a multicast group address. And we can often use a multicast group to think of some, if we think of TV, Channel 5 station wanted to send to everyone who is wanting to watch their live TV, then you subscribe to that particular address, multicast address, which represents that content that you want to watch. So a particular TV channel broadcast on the internet may have a multicast address associated with it. A different channel would have a different multicast address. So if you want to watch Channel 5, you subscribe to this multicast address. Sometime later you want to switch to Channel 7, then you subscribe to a different multicast address, and so on. How do we subscribe? Well, there's a special protocol for that called IGMP. In theory, anyone can send a packet to any multicast address. If you know a multicast address, you can send a packet with that as the destination. But in practice, there may be some security policies at routers that prevent that. But in theory, it's possible. That is, this source, my computer, creates a packet. It sets the destination address as this multicast address. I send that. In practice, if my router didn't want to allow me to use multicast, it may be configured not to allow that, but in theory, I can send that through the internet. The hosts that receive or intended recipients of that datagram must register. So the host registered with that multicast address should receive the datagram or packet. So those hosts are in the same multicast group. IGMP is a special protocol that allows hosts to join and leave groups. If I want to receive all the data sent to this address, I join the group. If I no longer want to receive that data, I leave that group. And IGMP has some special mechanisms to send to the routers and to join and leave groups. We use routers to manage the groups. And we tell the different routers in the internet who is in which group. And not all routers are involved. It's only special multicast routers in the internet that are involved in this process. So if we have all the routers in the internet, only some of them are multicast. So when I join a group, what I do is I tell my local multicast router, I want to join this group. That multicast router will tell other multicast routers that I've joined that group. And then when some source sends a packet to that group, the router should know to deliver that to me. And we need to update that management of the group sometimes. So there's special mechanisms to make sure that if I no longer want to receive, I can leave the group. I send a special message to say I want to leave the group. Or if I no longer respond or no longer send a join or a special update message, then maybe the routers may check whether I still want to be in the group and send out some message saying, are you sure you want to still be in this group? If I don't respond, they will remove me from the group. That's needed, for example, if my computer is turned off before I leave. Now, an important thing of the way the group management works is that the source node doesn't need to know all members of the group. It's the routers that manage the group. The source doesn't know how many people are in the group or which particular hosts are in the group. It sends one copy of the packet to a multicast router, and then it's the routers that deal with delivering it to all the users in the group. This makes it very simple for the source. If there are five users in the group or five hosts, it sends one copy of the packet, the routers deliver to those five hosts. If there are 500,000 hosts in the group, it sends one copy of the packet and the routers deliver to the host. So as the group changes over time, the source doesn't have to change. The source keeps sending packets just to that group address. So again, TV station is broadcast or is sending their live TV via the internet. They're sending packets which contain video. They send to multicast routers. It's then the job of the multicast routers to deliver to everyone who has subscribed to that group. The last mechanism, so we need multicast addresses, we need group management for joining and leaving groups, and we need special forwarding and routing mechanisms for multicast routers. Let's draw an example to illustrate this. Here's our internet. We have some IP subnets and some routers. Let's add some more. Right, we need a router. And attached to each subnet are some hosts, the squares. So, in the internet, not all routers support multicast routing. Only a selection of the routers are considered as multicast routers. But for my example, let's assume all of them, maybe all of them except this one, support multicast routing. Only because I have a small network. All of these routers, except this one, support multicast routing. This is a normal IP router. These are normal IP routers as well as multicast routers. So we have a number of hosts. We have our source who wants to send our TV content. So the idea from the source is that he wants to stream video. So video, say live video, is being generated here. And it's being converted into packets, IP packets. And it wants to send those packets to all of the hosts who want to subscribe to that group or want to watch that video. If there's going to be some address associated with this multicast group, let's give an example. I think it's similar to what we had before. This is our special multicast destination address. The first thing that's needed is that all the hosts that want to subscribe or watch that video must subscribe to that group. And they do so by telling the multicast routers. Let's get another. If this host wants to subscribe to the group, it uses IGMP. We're not going to explain how IGMP works, but basically it needs to tell a multicast router, I want to join the group. This is host A. It tells its local multicast router, I want to join group 225.78.1. This multicast router then tells other routers that computer A wants to join this group. It doesn't have to say specifically computer A. It can simply tell, for example, this router tells this one, I have hosts which are part of the multicast group 225.78.1. So it tells this router, if you receive a packet destined to this multicast group, send a copy to me, and then I will deliver to the hosts here. Similar, this one may join. Again, these two register or the join the group by using IGMP to tell their local multicast router they want to join the group. This one doesn't have to tell the next multicast router about both of them. It simply says that I have hosts which want to be part of the group 225.78.1. And that makes this scalable because we don't have to keep track of all the individual hosts. We just need to keep track of the hosts or whether or not we need to forward a packet in this direction. We'll see why. And let's say there are other hosts also in the group. Should be enough. So they all join the group by telling their multicast router, and the multicast routers, using the multicast routing mechanisms, set up their routing tables so that when they receive a packet destined to this group, they will know where to send it to reach these five blue multicast hosts. So they join the group. And let's now send a packet from the source into that group. We generate an IP packet. Has some data. Has a source address equal to the IP address of S. And the destination address equal to this, 225.78.1. So a normal IP datagram. In this case, the local multicast router is here. So from this source's perspective, the first multicast router is here. And we'd say that this is the local multicast router of this source. So it sends this packet to this multicast router. It would actually send via this router. It would be delivered just using normal, say if this was an Ethernet network, it would be delivered across the LAN. To the router, the router would look in its routing table and forward to this next router. Since this is a normal IP router, it doesn't do anything special with this packet. It doesn't make copies of it. It simply forwards it on to the next router. Multicast routers may make copies of that packet to send to other destinations. Let's see how that happens. Okay, so this multicast router receives this packet. Destination address indicates the group. It knows, because prior when these nodes registered, the routing protocols updated and informed the routers of where to send the packets. So this one knows, okay, I need to deliver a packet locally to this host. In addition, I need to send packets in this direction. So it would need to send to here a copy of that packet, and in our network it would need to send a copy to here and to here, because it will see we have some destinations on this path and we have some destinations on this path. We need to reach all destinations. How does it send? In this case it could simply use unicast across this local area network or this subnet. that is, uses the Ethernet unicast mechanism to deliver across the subnet. It takes the IP datagram, puts it inside an Ethernet frame, sets the destination address of the Ethernet frame to that of computer E. That frame is delivered across the LAN to computer E. Computer E receives it, sees that the destination of this multicast group, and computer E knows it has previously joined this multicast group, receives the data. So, to deliver across the subnet, we just use the normal layer 2 technology to do so. And in this case, we use unicast delivery in the layer 2 subnet. Because we didn't want to send a copy to here. In this case, we want to send a copy to this router and also to this router. And in this subnet, there are three devices attached, as well as the source. Two routers and this other host. So again, we have two options. Use unicast. Send a copy using, if this is Ethernet, using the layer 2 technology, an Ethernet frame from here to here, as well as send another Ethernet frame from here to here, and then they would process and forward on. Ethernet also has a special multicast mechanism. If we look at this network in detail, we had our source router, the one that was sending. We had two routers and a host. That was that individual subnet. Let's say they're all attached via a switch. This one wants to send a copy of the same packet to here and here. The options it has: use Ethernet unicast, send a copy to the switch. If this has a destination MAC address, let's call it MAC 1, MAC 2, MAC 3, they are the Ethernet addresses. Then the option this one has is send one Ethernet frame with a destination of MAC 1, and then send a second frame with destination of MAC 2. That is, send two copies of that frame to the specific destinations using unicast. It will go to the switch would send the first frame to here, the second frame will go to the switch would send to here. So that's just the delivery inside this network. In fact, Ethernet has its own multicast mechanism. There are special multicast addresses in Ethernet, similar that there are special broadcast addresses. So there is a mechanism such that we could send just one frame to a special multicast address. I can't remember the format of those addresses. And similar mechanism, every host which is registered with that multicast address receives a copy. So what we do is we send this one frame to the switch knows that these two hosts on the Ethernet LAN should receive a copy. That's how the multicast works inside Ethernet. And the switch would send a copy on this link and a copy on this link. They would receive a copy of the same frame. So we can have, in fact, multicast inside a LAN as well. We cannot broadcast in here, because if we broadcast, this one will receive a copy, and we don't want it to receive a copy. So we can either unicast or apply multicast inside here. Multicast is more efficient because we send one copy plus one plus one. With unicast, we'd send two copies plus one plus one. We'd send one extra, have one extra transmission. So we can use Ethernet multicast inside a LAN. If this host did not exist, then we could have used broadcast as well. If this one wasn't here, broadcast would work. Send this frame to this broadcast address. Everyone receives a copy, and that everyone is the two intended destinations. So that's just inside the local network. Coming back to our internet, our IP network, these two routers receive a copy of the frame and therefore have this IP datagram. Destination is still 225.78.1. Computer E has already received a copy of the data. This router knows from the IP, from the multicast routing that happened beforehand, that it needs to send a copy to this router. Does so using unicast. This one knows it needs to send a copy to these two. Actually, let's get rid of this router. No need. And again, inside the subnet, we could use unicast, send a copy here, and send an extra frame here, or we could send broadcast. If these were the only two hosts in the network, and since both need to receive a copy, we can use Ethernet broadcast. But that's only inside the local subnet. Similar, this one sends a copy to here. It knows to send to here because of the multicast routing. Sends to here. This one knows that there is a host registered to the group or subscribed to the group on this subnet, as well as a host on this subnet. It knows their addresses and sends to them directly. And as a result, our five hosts have all received a copy of that same packet. Since this is streaming video, more packets are coming. As one host no longer wants to watch that video, they unsubscribe or join or leave the group. That is, let's, only two more minutes. If this host leaves the group, it tells its multicast router, I'm leaving the group. I no longer need to receive the packets. I don't want to watch the video. Okay, that's fine. But we still need to deliver packets along this path because host B wants to receive them. But if then host B leaves the group, it tells the router. This router realizes there are no hosts here that should receive the packets. Therefore, it tells this router, you don't need to send any packets to me because there are no hosts that need to receive it. And this router, in fact, tells this one, you do not need to send any packets to me because there are no hosts downstream in this path that need to receive it. So now, the packets that are sent, and in fact, this one tells this one. Now, when we send a packet, we send to here, this one sends to E, we send one copy to here, and then eventually to D and C. We don't have to send along this path. So we've saved many network resources. We don't have to send along this portion of our internet. And of course, as nodes join and leave, we need to update our routing so that we can send the packets to the right destinations. That covers the main details of multicast in the internet. Let's stop there. Come and ask me questions if you have some. And in the afternoon, we'll look at another aspect of performance for multimedia applications, that is quality of service.